Begin the Karan Dav Masech the Shabbos Dav Tzadik Tes Amid Beis. We begin Trace the Bemaslat as begins words of the Gemara Elam Kein Osla Mechitza Gevay Yitzvachem. Unless you made a wall for it that's 10 Tzvachem high. So this can explain that you need specifically like the words Mechitza and not a other halacha called Pasen. And but by a Karmelist even Pasen helps. That is the Gemara brought that the Brisa that says if there's a Pidum Shasaram that's 10 Tzvachem deep and 4 Tzvachem wide, you cannot fill up from it on Shabbos unless because that's Rosh Hashanah. Unless you made around it in walls, that's 10 tefachim high, so then the area in the perimeter is also Rosh Hashanah, and then you can pick up from the pit into that chamber, that room. So Tay says that specifically walls help around the pit, but as Tay says, avopasin, which are two boards that are tefach wide that are attached to the corners, like these L-shaped brackets on the corners, lo mahani, that would not help. Because that's El Ber Mayim Chaim, that's only by a well of spring waters, or a pit that's used for the public. That's a unique halacha over there, which is either the water's not going to stop, or the Rabbim is there, so they'll remember. But a pit, not a well, of Hayachar, of an individual, not of a Rabbim. So there, you have to make walls and pass not going to help because then it's going to run dry and no one's going to remind him and he's going to continue carrying even though we don't have that head to because there's no more water over there. Now, but Tzentes points out, but this specifically if the pit is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, davar shasa yachad. But if it's less than the davar karmelis, which then the pit is only like a karmelis, then they wouldn't be so stringent. And then actually just putting pasen around it actually would be enough of a heter. That's what Harav Pyrrhus says. Turning to the master, begins words the Gemara, Oidumma, maybe, keeping him welcome, Potter Kaasim, since it's coming from an exempt area, then Loi, actually, maybe he wouldn't be liable. So I can explain that actually there's a unique doubt over here in the Gemara's question. That is, the Gemara brought an interesting question. That if you have a beam at Rosh Hashanah, that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, which is Rosh Hashanah, and you're throwing from Rosh Hashanah on there, what's the halacha? Would you say, okay, you didn't akir from Rosh Hashanah, you did anocha from Rosh Hashanah, or maybe, as our Tesis is the Masl quotes, that since ultimately when you threw it, it had to go over the 10 tefachim, which was not in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah because it maxed out of 10 tefachim, so it went from Rosh Hashanah to Mokab Tur and then down to the Rosh Hashanah, which was the beam, maybe you're not going to be chayv. Not Tosfos says, and if you're going to say, Tosfos has to take a second look. He says, wait a second. Micah Mabayle, what's the Gemara's question? Tif Shoyd Meditani Perakama, it seems clear from a Bryce in the first peg in the above Medav that says, Amritzi Mechanus Lapalati, if someone's carrying out from a store to the street, Derech Stiav through a Carmelist, through the bench area, Chayiv is going to be liable. And that halacha is Vechra Moshe Vechra Zer Chayiv, whether you're passing, whether you're throwing your Chayiv. So to Vamin Lael, the Gemara says, Navsadi Bezim and Al. Amritzi Masal Malamasar Chayiv, someone carries above 10th Vogel is Chayiv. So, yeah, you went from Rosh Hashanah, you carried it above, then you put it down Rosh Hashanah, and you're going to be chayv. So what's the question? I mean, we know, of course, you're going to be chayv. That says in Pyrrhus, it says very interestingly. It says, the Davka, specifically, the whole question is when the force of the person's azrika stopped, essentially his akira originally stopped in an exempt area, Kugain, for example, which is the case we're discussing in the Gemara. The person is throwing it above 10 tefachim, connected to Rosh Hashanah, opposite the airspace of Rosh Hashanah. Then the yarda even ba'alachsin. Then the stone comes down at a diagonal, v'nachal amid, and it comes down on the pillar. With the yarida zu'ein mekeicharishin, that coming down, that descent, is not from his original force. It's the strength of his strength. If without the laws of gravity, it would continue going up. His throw actually ended in Rosh Hashanah, which is not actually Rosh Hashanah, it's above Rosh Hashanah, above 10th Malchum, which is actually Malchum Ptur. But then that force caused a different force to then descend at an angle onto Rosh Hashanah. Ah, Vakim the Malchum Patrukas, his sins is coming from an exempt area, Yesh Hefzik Vina Kir Hashem La'Nocha. So there's an interruption between his original lifting up and the placing down. Avalim Zarg Mamish Kenegad Amad, but says Taisus, of course, if he threw directly opposite the pillar, Shalaholcha Balachs and Klaw, where it did not go at a diagonal by its descent, but rather went straight from his force to the pillar. Of course, by the chayv, that didn't entertain, even though it's above 10 tefachim. Of course, you can be chayv. But additionally, the whole question was only regarding throwing, because like we explained, that's only where you have koyach, a strength of a strength. But regarding carrying out or carrying in, where there's no koyach over there because he's just carrying it, pshitla the chayv, of course, it would be obvious, as we explained, that it'd be chayv, even though it's going above 10 tefachim. But then Tosfos is bothered by a question. al gabel. So how exactly is the Gemara bringing a raya from our Mishnah? They said, oh, that's the halacha of our Mishnah. But that halacha of Mishnah is where he's carrying it. And still we're saying that you're going to be chayiv. What do you mean? But that's not the question. Our question was specifically regarding throwing. So it's because those who, the Amiram, who answered, they understood that our Mishnah was talking about in all cases that you're going to be chayiv. Whether you're throwing or passing, to the time of Rashi, like the Rashi Mishnah was talking about, Hazorik Potter b'Meishit Chayiv. That you're going to throw, that you're going to be exempt, and you're going to pass, you're going to be chayiv. So you see, our Mishnah is talking about Zrika too. And therefore, they assumed that when the Mishnah said the halacha was going on Zrika, not just on Hayshat. Now, that's why it's not similar to what we had originally asked, to taking out from the store to the street through the bench area. It's coming directly from his forest where he's carrying it. But when you're throwing it up and then it's coming out of descent on the angle, that's where we had the question together with that. It's coming more kaptur. And that's why maybe we said maybe you'd be put. Tinek says the master begins words of the Gemara, Mukav Lekarmelis, and he surrounded an area by Karmelis, and then he made it to Rishas Yachad. Shteis can explain that the words here are important. Specifically, the doubt of the Gemara was if you were surrounding a Karmelis. But if you surround the area that was originally Rishas Rabbim, of course you'd be Chayv. As Oymari the Re says, the Mashma, the Davka Mukav Lekarmelis. Sounds like that this whole discussion regarding do we say that because what you're surrounding becomes a Rishas Yachad. So the wall, even though it does not have the dimension of Rishas Yachad, yes, it's 10 tefachim high, but it's not a 4 tefachim in the width. And the lands on top of the wall, is it going to be chayiv or not? And which the Gemara ultimately said that the wall itself will be Rishas Yachad. So Emory says that the mashma did not come up with the kamas. Sounds like this whole discussion was only when it's surrounding a kamas. The key in the mukav lekamelis, since it's running near a kamelis, in kol kach svar, you don't have really so much strong logic. She asked Rishas Yachad that the wall should become Rishas Yachad. Mitam de lachem ois machitza, because it's making something else into a wall, because biblically you're not really doing anything with the karmelis, because it's not really Rishas Rabbim that you're transforming that into Rishas Yachad. It's only rabbinically. But if you surrounded an area that was originally the public domain, and now that you enclosed it, which is what every house is when you close the walls, it becomes Rishas Yachad. That was obviously what that would not have been asked regarding. That's obvious that it would help for the wall itself. If it made the inner area into Rishas Yachad, for sure the wall itself. Additionally, Taz says, Mishum Chay Rishas Yachad Lekel Lechayubay. You can't say that another reason why we would say, and that the Gemara should have said, that the wall itself is Rishas Yachad because it's considered the crevices. It's like the addendum of Rishas Yachad. Like we had said previously in the Gemara, when you're throwing it and it goes into the crevice of that cellar, that's not true, because you can't say the area on top of the wall is like the crevices of the house, because it's not really so convenient for people in the house to use the area on top of the wall. And then you cannot say that the liability is because of Rishas Yachad, and rather that's what they're going to have to say, it's based on the Kabbal Chaymer, if it's making what's inside Rishas Yachad, so for sure the wall itself will be Rishas Yachad. As we continue next to the Dimanaskal, which that's what the words of the Gemara says, Lachem Ois Machitza B'chulu, that if it makes other things into a wall, for sure it itself is going to be Rishas Yachad. So Tais can explain that regarding a different case the Gemara spoke about, regarding a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, and the chulia pulling out that clod of earth on the bottom makes it into 10, then you can't say that same svar. Well, if it makes something else in the Machitza for itself, isn't it a Kol Shekein? That is, the Gemara brought that Yechon's question regarding the wall itself. So he said, regarding the wall itself, it's a Kabbal Chaymer. But that's the taste. It's Gabichul Yudabur. Regarding when we had the pit that's 9 tefachim deep, and when you pull out that clod of earth from the bottom, that Akira is also making the pit into 10 tefachim. So it says, there you can't say the same logic. L'chayiv ha-mishtamish mishas rabim al-gabo, to make the one liable from the mishas rabim on top of that chulya. Because if for other things, meaning for the pit, actually this case of the chulya is not the clod of earth on the bottom. This is talking about that if you have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, and then you make on the top a chulya, you make the wall on the top into one tefach more, which then that makes the whole thing into 10 tefachim. So wait a second, you should say the same thing. That if for the pit is making it into mechitza for itself, for sure, to be mechayiv someone who's carrying from Rishas Rabbim and puts it on top of that one tefach chulya, so it says, no, that you can't say. Because since the chulya itself is not 10 tefachim high, you can't say that the one who's going to be putting on that small little one tefach chulya, that's going to make the person chayim. It's only with the combination of the pit that it's 10. In contrast, what we're talking about over here is that the wall itself is 10 tefachim high, so therefore the fact that it's encompassing the area in between, Therefore, that's what's in the kabbalah. But that would not be true. So it's twice the same thing. If let's say you have a chulya, but tefach high around the pit, that's not tefachim high. Even though it would make the pit itself into rishus yachid, that wouldn't make the one who's putting on it from rishus ram onto that wall of the chulya to be liable. The next text of the master begins with the gemara b'amai. But why? But you're diminishing it from four amas, which Tzitz can explain that the understanding of the Gemara over here about throwing the fig four amas on the wall, where the Gemara had a question from Rabbi Yochanan. If you have a pit that's 10 tefachim deep, and you put in the chulya, which is that piece of earth, and it diminishes, that hanocha is happening at the same time that you're diminishing from 10 tefachim, what's the halacha? Do you say that it's happening at the same time and therefore you're going to be chayiv because it was Rosh Hashanah before you put in, or not? So they want to ask, well, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan should resolve it from his own teaching, which on the next daf, that the Mishnah says, if someone throws Dalet Amos on the wall of Rosh Hashanah, if it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, he's going to be chayiv. But the question is, the Gemara is going to ask the next daf, but it doesn't land within 4 Amos because it falls backwards. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's about a fatty fig that it sticks to the wall. And then the Gemara says, wait a second. Why are you saying he's Michayev, but it's diminishing the space of the Dalet Amos? Ah, obviously, and that's the Gemara's question, that because since originally it was Dalet Amos, so it, even though now it's being diminished, it's Boin Kech, it's still going to be Chayev. So here also, when you have a pit that's 10 tefachim deep, and you're putting in the Chulya, even though it's diminishing it, you should still be Chayev, since beforehand there was a pit of 10 tefachim. That was the Gemara's question. So they says, Pish, according to Rashi explains, the Mashmilei, because the Gemara understands the Mari Philip Dalamas Mitzumtsimus, that the Gemara on the next stop, that Mishnah, when you're throwing Dalar Amas onto the wall, it's talking about exactly four Amas. Oh, if that's the case, if you had Velam, it might be Dalar Amas. So the thickness of the fig diminishes from the ear of Dalar Amas, and therefore that's the Gemara's question. Oh, so that should prove, that should answer Biechanon's own question. But that's the size of Kashluri. It's difficult to read. Because the Be'inyan Zeh, in such a situation, in Nirashi is Chayiv, it doesn't seem appropriate that it should be liable. Because since it's attached on the inside, meaning you have part of the object that's still within Dalet Amos, and it didn't leave the Dalet Amos, because you're saying the wall is four Amos away, exactly. So when you're throwing the fatty fig, that it's still part of the fig that didn't leave the Dalet Amos. Maybe the surface of the fig hit Dalet Amos mark, but the rest of the fig is, that means to say, it's still within Dalet Amos if it's exactly 4 Amos to the wall. Now, so therefore, you shouldn't be chayiv. Like when you take out a half of a box to a shizram, with the inner chayiv, you're not liable to see in the kul l'chutz, as we learned in the previous time, until you take it all out. So here also, the whole, that means that not the whole fig went out of Dalet Amos. Because the Otu says, do you think, imzark adam roimach, let's say someone throws a spear, b'chol devarach, or any long thing, kosher, let's say a small amount, you think it's chayiv, you'd be liable? Why? Because one end of it went out of Dalet Amos from the other end of it. No, obviously not. The whole object has to go in area of 4 Amos. But the imbezerik Dalet Amos, hachi gemirla, she's chayiv b'kai gamnam. And says Taisa, then you're going to say that, no, even if the object, you're right, did not go out from 4 Amos, then still you're going to tell me there's some type of aloha meshim esina that you're going to be chayiv in such a case. Then we're back to the question. And how you resolve from the case of throwing the fig for Amos Rajam on the wall to the case of a pit that's 10 tefachim deep and you're diminishing it, that, oh, that you should be chayiv. What do you mean? Here, when you threw Dalet Amos, of course you're going to be chayiv because it doesn't have to be all of it out of Dalet Amos, only part of it. First of all, Taisa says, first, that's not true. Taisa says, even if it would be, then it wouldn't resolve our question because here it has to be 10 tefachim deep for the dimensions of the Rishus HaYochid. Here, to throw Dalet Amos, you tell me it doesn't have to go Dalet Amos, as long as part of it went out of Dalet Amos. So who cares that it's diminishing, still part of it went out of Dalet Amos. Well, in Morva says, Taisis, that my mashmalei tfei behind the zarkar b'amos b'koisel, this doesn't understand the whole premise of the way Rashi explained the Gemara's question. What? It would be more over here for the mission on the next daf that we're quoting Rabbi Yochanan's qualification on. That when it's talking about that you threw Dalet Amos on the wall because of the mitzvah, that was exactly for Amos. Mishar arba Amos hashnuit b'chol hashas. Oftentimes when it says Dalet Amos and all hashas, it doesn't really mean exactly. It just means it went at least Dalet Amos. But here the whole question is premise is based on it was exactly for Amos. So he finds that difficult. So near the read appears to the read the Mairi Hocha that here we're talking about Right, we're not talking about exactly like Rashi says, 4 amis. It meant in general, it went an area of at least 4 amis. This is what the question is. But it's diminishing from the 4 amis. Why? Because the space of the fig itself that's attached to the wall, that space gets nullified from the halachic status of Rishus Rabim, Shabbat L'Kaisel, because that fig becomes secondary and nullified to the wall. It's like a thick wall. That the fig is part of the wall. And therefore, that place where the fig is on top of it, is not considered an area of Rishus Rabim. And hence, in Bimzark Machat, they kite Dalit Amis. Let's say you would throw a needle or a thorn, 4 amis, Menachal Advela, and it would land on the fig, or Nitka Betoich, or it would get stuck inside of it. Hayapater, person would be exempt. That they Mokum Advela and the Smite Medir Rishus Rabim, because the place of the fig already lost its status of Rishus Rabim because it's nullified to the wall. But Felach Ichayim, and still was saying, when you throw the fig, you're going to be liable. Since when you originally threw it, ad kaid manacha, until it landed, hayishem rishus rabim alav, there was dalan amas rishus rabim. This was considered an area rishus rabim. But what's happening is vanacha umid rishus rabim. But it's just that when it's being placed down, umid rishus rabim, and diminishing that from being called rishus rabim, because now it's being called rishus yachid. It's happening at the same time, and you see that you give me chayim. So therefore that's the Gemara's question. By us also, we should have said, by Rechlin's question over here, yes, the placement and the removing of the walls are happening at the same time. Because before it landed, it had the name of Rishus Rabim. Mashani, that's what the Gemara answers. No, nearby the fig, you're not nullifying it to the wall. They're not nullifying the status of Rishus Rabim. But here, where the Chuli is being nullifying the status of Rishus Rabim, maybe you would say that you'd be Pater, and therefore it's not a Raya to Rabbi Yechon over here. Ten next says the master begins the words of the Gemara. Zarek daf v'chul. Someone throws a board, etc. Hanachas chayvitz v'asiz mechitz v'chul. We're having the placing of the object and the making the walls, etc. at the same time. Which Tzitzkim explain that beneath the board, it has to be that there's also a whiff of four tefachim. Because we explained we had Rabbi's question. The Gemara says, wait a second, isn't that exactly like Rabbi Yechon's question? The Gemara says, no. Rabbi's case was, he's throwing a board with an object on top of the board, and the board lands with the object on top of the pegs in Rishus Rabim. So if you say that the object that's on the board is Rishus Yachid, and the making of the board itself and Rishus Yachid happening at the same time, it's not going to be Chayiv, if you say Imtim Tzlim in Rabbi Yechon's case. But if you say it's not possible that it shouldn't elevate the object a little bit from the board when you throw it on it, so it comes out the board made it into Rishus Yachid first, and then the object landed, so then it lands in Rishus Yachid, therefore you can have Anoch Rishus Yachid in Michayiv. But that place is bad. Maybe you're going to say, that even if the goats cannot come beneath the area of the board to nullify it from being considered as mechitza beneath the board, but still so says, how could you say the area beneath it is considered an area of Rishus HaYachid to make the liability of putting the object that's landing on top of it on the Rishus HaYachid? Why is it different than the basket of Amud and a pillar of Rishus HaRabim that's in standing Rishus HaRabim that's Gevoy Yud that has a height of 10 tefachim? And the basket on the top has a width of 4 tefachim. But the bottom, which is the pillar itself, does not have a width of 4 tefachim. The Gemara tells later on the Kofa Aleph Amad Aleph. Zark Menacha Gabav Chayiv. If you throw it and lands on top of it, you're going to be Chayiv. That's only on the top. Mash Medavka Gabav. Avot Tachtav Loi, but beneath it not. So here, we want to make the person liable, even for throwing the board, because of the object and the walls that they're happening at the same time. The problem is, but beneath the board, since it's not 4 tefachim wide, not going to be chayiv. And Rav Amiri, the Ri says, k'goin sheyesh shtei mechitzos, so you say this. What we're talking about actually here is that we already have 2 walls of these pegs. U'b'shlishis amrinim p'tikra dav yod b'sosim. Now regarding the third wall, what's happening is, when the board lands on these 2 walls of the pegs, then in the third wall, we say that the opening of the roof is like a beginning of a wall. That's the thickness of the roof, which is this board. We see that as if it's coming and closing it down. So it comes that when the board lands in it, then actually beneath the board, we actually do have an area of Fort Falcom. And that's why that was that sound in the Gemara to say that the object which lands a second later would be landing on a Rishus HaYachid.